Oh, that was weird. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
I did hear that.
Okay, that's wrong. My whole thing. Damn it.
that was bizarre.
I was about
to say. Do you think that picked up?
It might have.
Maybe. I've never heard it do that before. Well, there's our intro, but whatever.
Yeah. Why don't we
total
just let
confusion.
Let whoever that lady was take it from now on and just say
God
recording
just
in progress.
Came in. Like,
we're gonna need people to tell us if they heard that.
Well, I'll find out when we end this, like when we take a break. Like, I'll see if it actually picked up. That was really fucking weird.
Cody, if it doesn't, you just need to say recording in progress from now on.
Okay, I guess. Oh, yeah. You want me to say what I hear?
Exactly.
Okay.
But in a female computerized voice.
Like the fucking program from Her. Just like, fall in love with me.
Cody, let's give it a shot. Johansson. Give us your best female robot voice.
Okay.
Saying recording in progress.
Wait, it has to be a robot?
Yeah, it has to be
a robot. Female robot.
Female robot.
Recording in progress.
But why was that so quiet?
I didn't know how to make a robot.
Yeah, he was nervous. That's why.
Well, I was nervous, but like, I was like, soft voice. And I was like, wait, robot voice. I was like, I don't know.
Mark, you try.
Okay. Recording in progress.
Okay, that was just fucking creepily arousing.
That was creepy. I know Cody was nervous, but why did your robot sound nervous?
I don't know about you guys, but I already have a chub. So
right. I'll give it a roll. See if this Cody, everybody unzip real quick and I'll try mine.
Recording in progress. You sound like it's counting down to explode.
CJ sounds like a robotic elevator operator on a ride I never want to be on.
Yeah, like the robot that's trying to actually kill you, you just don't know it yet.
That elevator is shooting right outside of the building.
Yeah. It's the Tower of Terror, baby. Tower
when you
of
least
terror.
Expect it, all the brakes are failing and it's just going to drop. Like, and then it's going to tell you you've arrived.
I would love that if people heard my voice and they were like, oh, we're going down.
We're going down. Oh, geez. Well, that's definitely a weird fucking intro, but okay.
Yeah. That might be the strangest intro ever.
Yeah, because the fucking computer fucking took over. So.
Well, let's progress this recording. Mark, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to do the annoyance this week.
Okay, what's up?
So I think this is either my second or third time doing an annoyance, and it's definitely the second time that my annoyance has to do with bad manners, which just really says a lot about me as a person.
Can I guess it before you say it?
I would love for you to do that, Siege.
Is it elbows on the table?
That's my grandma's, but
it's speaking to people and having an active conversation, and then that person just puts the cell phone slowly up and starts either texting or going on Instagram while you're talking to them.
Oh, okay. This is the one that you mentioned before, but not on an episode. Because I was like, why does this sound familiar? We did this.
Right. I think, this is definitely, we haven't talked about this on an episode.
Yeah. Because this literally happened to me the other day. And I thought about you and I was like, fucking bitch. Like, this girl literally brought up her phone while I was mid-sentence with her. Like, I was literally checking her out, like, doing the whole conversation thing. Not checking her out with, like, my eyes, but, like, checking her out, like, at the register.
Right.
And she, like, we're in the middle of a sentence. Like, I asked her a question. She's answering me and then just starts texting. And I was like, well, fuck me then. Like,
but it's clear that the other person switches off.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They stop responding or they do the kind of, you know, like, and you're like, well, what's the point in me continue? I could tell, I could make up gobbledygook right now.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't pay attention.
Yeah. Like, I literally could have, like, handed her, like, $50 less in change and she wouldn't know. Like,
I think, like, I have a similar thing, which is kind of on the same kind of track, where it's when somebody asks you a question, like, this is more concerning at work, when somebody asks you a question and then walks away from your answer.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, and I'm like, no, I need to answer that. And I'm literally like running, like power walking towards them. Like, no, I can solve this for you. Like, where are you going?
You're like, I want to keep working and moving, and you talk while I go.
I was like, why are you moving right now? I have something to say to you.
Everything's like you work, like the show The West Wing, like you have to keep moving while you talk.
Right.
Just constantly moving.
It's like, my store is not that big. Where are you going?
There's two different things. If you start talking to someone who is already on their cell phone, then that's on you. Well, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You're kind of interrupting them in terms of whatever they're doing. It's a completely different thing if you're having a conversation with someone and then they pull up their phone.
Yeah.
That pisses me off no end.
It's rude. It's like, what did I... It instantly makes you, like, introspect, because it's like, what did I just say that, like, lost all your interest? Like,
right.
Like, am I that uninteresting that you were like, no, I gotta check my phone? Like, it's the ultimate, it's the technological cold shoulder. Like,
yeah, it's,
well, I mean, let's play devil's advocate real quick. Is what you were saying that important?
I mean, fair, yeah, if we're gonna play devil's advocate, like, I don't want to fucking talk to you anyway.
Right, exactly. What?
Everything I say carries such a weight of significance. You have no idea. Actually, you do have an idea. I've had many a conversation with you. You know this.
You know how important they are. Like,
I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't get that. I was checking something. What were you saying?
DJ's technically on his phone right now. Like,
technically, he is.
Yeah, we're all technically on our phone. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm on a laptop, sir.
Yeah, I'm on a laptop.
Oh, I'm on a phone.
Get out of here.
I'll see you guys later.
Later.
CJ has left the chat.
Ooh, don't get that going again. You know what? Cody's pitching a tent over there.
Don't tell anyone. I think, like, on that, like, same note, like, that really kind of annoys me. It's in the same kind of thing. It's like, it's a lack of actually listening or, like, paying attention. But it's like, when you're talking to someone and we're mid-sentence, you're mid, like, whatever it is you're saying, and they just start talking back over you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've already tuned you out, but instead of, like, picking up a phone, they just start saying whatever they're thinking. And it's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
I'm literally mid-sentence. Like, yeah, it's just like, I think it's people just like not, like, I don't know, having a fucking attention span anymore.
But I think a lot of people kind of make up their own minds before they even are curious about something too.
Yeah.
Where it's a lot of like instant kind of like, I want to ask a question, I want to communicate, I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. But then in their head, their wheels are spinning and they're like, oh, well, I know the answer to this, I could just move on to something else.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up. Like, you should,
I want to, like, okay, wait,
be patient.
Yeah. But, like, in all fairness, like, I guess not to be, like, I guess kind of devil advocate, like CJ had said, but when does this actually ever happen to you? Because I don't think anyone outside of work has ever actually done this to me. Like, where they've just grabbed a phone and started, like, do people, like, really not like talking to you?
I mean, now you're making it, like, a me problem rather than a them problem.
I'm just saying, does this happen a lot to you? Like, where, like, it becomes an annoyance? Maybe it's a New York thing. Is it a New York thing?
It very well could be. People in New York do not act. It's an active listening thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to all of the points that we've made, it comes down to patience. It comes down to just politeness. It also comes down to whether they are genuinely interested in what you're saying or not.
Mm-hmm.
And in New York, everybody is time poor, which I understand.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't want to listen to whatever bullshit that it. That
I'm just imagining Mark talking to random strangers, and they just like, like, and you're like, what the fuck?
I would say, Mark, I would say, be careful what you wish for, because listeners that are too active scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, you cannot get rid of them.
That's a good point. You that's a very good point. I don't want someone listening too actively.
Yeah, or like, you know, that doesn't want to end the conversation at all, like, we'll just keep talking to you.
Too, too much eye contact. Like, get the fuck out of here with your eye contact. Dude, I do not want to look at your eyeballs.
Weirds me out. I'm like, can you like look, like just glance or at something? Like,
yeah. Right. Like, look at my forehead.
Center it up. Like,
up here, buddy.
Yeah. I used to have a boss that always looked at my mouth, and it always made me think that I had something in my mouth, and it was a really big. It was a power move, I think. I think she was doing it to kind of like make me uncomfortable and just keep me on my toes.
Well, fucking maybe. Joke's on her because she can't look at anyone's mouth now. So.
It's true.
Maybe they wanted to make out with you.
Maybe she's like, "We gotta get in that."
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I've never looked at somebody's mouth and been like, "I want to make out with that mouth." That's weird.
I don't know. Like, you ever really? Like, I don't know. Maybe like they got like, I like nice lips. And like, I just want to tongue fuck that thing. Like,
yeah. I've looked at lips, but I haven't. Oh, okay. I've looked at lips. I've never looked at a mouth in general and been like, that's a nice mouth. That's fucking weird.
If you're not looking hard enough.
Look past the lips, CJ.
Into the mouth. Like,
what, to her epiglottis? Oh, yeah, she has a sexy epiglottis.
How's her little the little nipple thing in the back of her throat? How's that look?
I think that's an epiglottis.
Is it? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Do they have tonsils? Do they not have tonsils?
Can you reach them with your tongue?
Wow.
I think oh, she's had her wisdom teeth removed. Sexy.
I can only count 26 teeth.
Is there food in there? Is there a snack for later? Like
that's the sexiest piece of parsley I've ever seen in my life.
I'm gonna get that broccoli.
Oh no, I'll get it for you.
Could you imagine if you're like, there's something in your teeth, like, oh, you're like, no. Let me. But you go in mouth first.
Also, I'm sure you noticed, but I took your bubble gum.
And your gold filling.
I feel like I've seen that. It's like, there's a movie where like, someone goes to make out with someone and they come back with that person's gum and they're like, fuck.
What if there was like the world's worst robber that like stole gold fillings by making out with people?
That would be the best robber. What are you talking about?
I think they're called mouth pirates, CJ.
Yeah, mouth pirates.
The pirates of the spitty sea.
The tonsil hockey bandit.
Okay, well, let's fucking take a break and then start this stupid thing. All right, we'll be right back. Jokes on you, robot. No one hears you except for me. Stupid bitch. Yeah, it's funny. I play the video one, the version. And it's just like, like, did you hear that? We sound fucking stupid.
We're just freaked out by the voice kind of thing. Yeah,
the fucking voice.
Okay. Like, so, do you want to make it clear that there's like a voice at the beginning of our recording now so we don't sound like idiots?
I think you just did.
Okay, cool, perfect. And also, I got the epiglottis wrong. It's the uvula in the back.
Uvula, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry about
I knew it wasn't right, but I couldn't think of the actual word.
I was trying to sound smart.
Epiglottis sounds smart. It's like
it's a very smart word.
Say medulla oblongata whenever you want. You sound like a genius. Mm-hmm.
Watch out. Adam Sandler's going to tackle you.
Medulla oblongata. Okay, so today we are talking about the Tulsa Massacre. also known as the Tulsa Race Massacre, Race Riot, all these with Tulsa in the front. Tulsa Race Riot, Greenwood Massacre, Black Wall Street Massacre, Tulsa Pogrom, which I never heard. But that's basically an organized massacre of a particular ethnic group. So learned a new word. That was cool.
Interesting.
It's Russian.
That is interesting. I've never heard that before.
Neither have I, but it sounds awesome. It's not awesome. The word is.
Oh, it was established from Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Russia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You just said that. Fine.
Russia. So this occurred in obviously Tulsa, Oklahoma on May 31st and June 1st of 1921. Yeah, it's just fucking shitty as hell. Did you want me to mention it now, CJ? What did we decide?
Yeah, go. Okay. We talked about it. Yeah.
So obviously, meaning coming up is the centennial of this tragic event. So good timing of recovering. I don't know. Bad timing? Good timing? Timing?
We're shedding light.
Shedding light. Mm. I never heard of this before.
Raising awareness.
Yeah, this was definitely news to me. When I first heard about this. What?
Apropos.
What's that mean?
Just like in the sense of current times.
Oh. Nice. French bastard. sounds French. Is that French?
It is.
Okay. So yes, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Never really thought much of it before. Hate it now. Like fucking hate it. It just, that whole place sucks. Sorry to anyone who lives there now, but fuck, you guys fucked up everything. So there's really only like one. I could have gone into like the days up to this and what happened. There's really only one explanation of why this happened, and this place is just fucking racist.
Yeah,
100%. Tulsa in 1921, and even prior to it, which I'll go over, it was just fucking balls to the wall. Like racist to the max. Being that the fact that their fucking founder, W. Tate Brady, was a Klan member. Mm. So, and he founded the fucking city.
That'll do it.
W. Taint Brady?
Yeah, W. Taint fucking Brady. Yeah. And we all know how the name Brady is held up today.
I've never trusted a Brady.
Ever.
Oh, wasn't he that guy that like raped somebody too? Wasn't there a kid named Brady that raped a girl in high school or whatever, or in college?
I'm sure maybe somewhere. I thought you were talking about
TV.
Tom
Brady.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Oh, this guy's also TB. Tate Brady. Oh,
there you go.
So also at this time, 4% of Tulsa's population was a member of the Klan. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but 4% is a lot. 4% is the percentage of some demographics, like some, you know,
yeah,
fucking minorities in populaces. Like some of them have a 4% ratio. This was just the Klan members in this one city. Their population was like 72,000, so that means 3,200 of them were in the Klan.
Jesus fucking Christ.
A lot.
It's a lot, yeah. Especially when like you don't consider Oklahoma as primarily like a southern state. Like, it's not part of that, like, belt usually, but, like, it is. Okay, so I'm going to start in a certain spot. I'm going to jump back a little bit in time after. I had trouble kind of figuring out, like, where, like, to go with this one. But to give a little backstory on, like, Oklahoma, and then I'll go back to Brady in a little bit. Weirdly enough, Oklahoma had only become officially a state in 1907. So they were still pretty much babies when it came to being a state. Obviously, that doesn't mean that like no one lived there. They were still around. But like as being part of the country itself, they were still in an infancy. So obviously, they had state constitutions and like they, you know, had to establish a lot of things like there in 1907. One of the first laws that they passed was racial segregation. So even though the U.S. Constitution did not call for any of this, really, like no requirement to do it, they immediately adopted like Jim Crow laws and started by separating everything. Even to the degree that like the weirdest offense of this was a like a zoning law, where that in any city block, if 3/4 of the population was one color, the other color could not live there.
Isn't that called gerrymandering?
Is it? Is that what that means?
Where you split votes into different like districts, kind of thing, and like you cycle out races against each other based off their neighborhoods.
Oh, so, maybe. Like,
yeah, I think it's called gerrymandering. So like when you split up neighborhoods into different sections and different districts.
I've heard that term before. Like it always was in a negative connotation, so it definitely could be that.
Yeah, political leaders can choose where the lines are drawn to keep different districts away from others to enhance their power of like voting.
CJ's absolutely right. It's okay. The manipulation of boundaries as to favor one party or class.
Mm. So, I mean, that's great. I didn't know that. I'm going to disagree with you and say that this was actually gerrymandering. I think it was just they didn't want black people living near white people.
But it was just segregation.
It was like, just segregation in its purest sense. They just didn't want, like, if that neighborhood was primarily black to begin with, they didn't want white people going into it and vice versa. And I think that's really all it was. They just wanted it separate, which is just fucking bullshit. And the thing that really sucked about this is because Tulsa, prior to being accepted into the union, had a very, very prominent, more wealthy black community. This is like the reason, I don't know if you guys like caught it earlier, but like this is referred to as the Black Wall Street Massacre. But that's because Greenwood, the area where this takes place, was referred to as Black Wall Street. It was a very, very wealthy black community.
Oh, interesting.
And like when this happened and all this segregation happened, it basically just ripped, it disenfranchised all of them. Like they weren't allowed to like partake in public, you know, office. They weren't allowed to like be part of like certain businesses. They weren't allowed to like vote the same way. And in Greenwood, like they owned these businesses. This was their community. Like they had black owned multiple like theaters, restaurants, banks, like, and now they legally couldn't even own these places. And it was like, well, they were like, well, this is our fucking money. Like, so it immediately like just like it rippled out and destructured the economy like almost immediately, but like they didn't fucking care. So yeah, I mean, like that in a nutshell, like that's really all I needed to know, like about Oklahoma. I was like, well, that like this place is just set up structurally to fucking suck. Mm-hmm. And you know, it even goes a little bit like they even like had it so segregated that like even like northern part of Tulsa, I think it was Tulsa, like Oklahoma, was that's where they pushed all the Native Americans. And even that didn't benefit the black community because those were Native Americans that also used to own slaves. So it was just further separation. Like, wow. Yeah, it's like you've got a subclass owning a subclass. Like, and this is also still within living memory of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got people that are still alive in 1907. Like, the Civil War was 1865. Like, it's not even that long ago.
Yeah.
So that's
that's when the slavery was abolished in 1865, right?
Yeah, and that's why it was
the 13th Amendment.
Is that what the 13th one is?
I don't know.
Really bad at that. So like slavery is like really like not, you know, not that long gone. You've got Native Americans who owned slaves, and Native Americans are already, you know, disenfranchised in itself. But like, you know, now like, you know, the African American community isn't even allowed like there. It's like they're doing like the Tulsa legislature is like doing everything that they can to separate everyone away from white people. Especially when there's a whole community in Greenwood where, you know, black people have money. And it's like, you know, nothing pisses off racist white people more than black people with money.
Right.
So
very true.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Especially
like, how did the system fail us?
Right? Like
that their outlook.
Right. How did they get my money?
Yeah. Right.
Or succeed in general.
Yeah, I did everything to stop them.
Right.
That's such a good point, too. It's like, you think that's what these pieces of shit think? That, like, I tried so hard to stop them being successful. Yeah, how are they still successful?
How are they doing this? Like, Yeah,
it's like we literally stack the cards against them and they're still making more money than my redneck ass. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. Like,
they must have been mad.
And it's crazy too, because like I said, like nowhere in the US Constitution at this time was telling them, like, yeah, you guys need to do segregation. They were like, yeah, we're gonna fucking segregate. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
And the real kicker is their segregation laws were not altered or lifted or changed until 1965. Like, right in time for the other LA riots that we talked about. Like,
that is,
like, so
it was, right. I mean, that's like when civil rights finally started to come into action. So it was the entire country was at a point where they were basically saying, no, you can't do this anymore. And Oklahoma was like, oh, for fuck's sake, I guess we'll conform. Yes,
yeah. But you know, it's not the first time, because like this whole event that we're talking about right now, this was one of many that were coined during these years, like during this year, as the Red Summer. Like, this event that happened in Tulsa were also happening in Chicago and like other cities where Black communities were starting to speak up and like saying that they deserve these civil rights. It just happened that they were vastly outnumbered. Yeah. In a lot of them, and like this was the first time they had ever tried to fight back.
I think outnumbered in a political sense as well, where like even if they had the numbers, like the human numbers, if they wanted to get something into legislation, the powers that be were also racist pieces of shit. So it's like, I can't pass this, you know, to my congressman, because he's just gonna throw it in the trash because he's a piece of fuck and shit.
Yeah, he's gonna look at me like, well, I don't know, son, I don't know. And he's just gonna toss it away and eat his fucking eclair or something.
Doing a fucking they'll just do an enemas of mint juleps and shit like that. Whatever they're fucking doing.
Mint julep.
Straight up my pooper.
Straight up my tuchus.
Nothing hits like a juniper enema.
What's that called again? Butt jugging?
Yeah, butt chugging. Yeah.
Butt chugging.
I'm just gonna butt chug a sugary julep if you don't mind.
You're totally right, though. So you're like, yeah, even not even in a body count, because it's like, still, if you think about it, even in the civil rights movements that we talked about on a previous episode, they still were probably, like, I mean, in a sense, outnumbered in some form or another. But like, this was the first time that they had tried any kind of civil rights movement, and I think it's unfairly not coined as such. Like, the Red Summer doesn't tell anyone anything. This is like the first civil rights movement. Like, in a sense, this was the first time since the Civil War that they had tried to speak up for themselves and claim the rights that they were owed.
And it's happening across the country.
Yeah, it was happening. Yeah, it's not an isolated incident. This was happening in multiple cities across the country. Chicago is the only one I can remember right off the top of my head.
Would you say it's like, hey, okay, the Civil War happened, but hey, now let's take the rules seriously. And that was like another war in itself.
Exactly.
To actually, like, take the rules of what came from the Civil War seriously.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
We fought for equal rights. Now we're going to get equal rights, but now there's still state, city, county wars to make those civil rights come into play.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think a reason behind some of this is because we've just had World War One, and there were a number of African American soldiers that fought for America. During that time, that came home and realized, you know, we've just laid our lives on the line for this country and we're getting shit for it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Like, not only to CJ's point, like, the Civil War happened, you guys said this was gonna change and nothing's changing, but then fast forward to this event, these guys just fought in World War One and they still aren't getting recognized. Like, and it's just like, what the fuck, man? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. So to kind of go off of that, and we're going to backtrack a little bit to 1917. So, like, in the middle of World War One, because this 1921 thing that we're talking about right now is not the first incident in Tulsa. So we're going to go back to fucking Taint Brady and 1917. So the first major incident that happens in Tulsa is allegedly a oil, of course, like a wealthy white oilman, his house gets blown up. Probably because it's, I don't know, it's probably got fucking oil in it.
It's filled with oil. But
it immediately gets blamed on this group of black men. Like, yeah, it's like, okay. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I was assuming.
Don't pour water on that fire.
Yeah, I'm assuming all oil men keep barrels of oil in their house.
So. I imagine an oil tycoon in 1917 kept his oil in his house.
Yeah, if it's anything like There Will Be Blood, I imagine him just living right next to his fucking oil mine. Like,
yeah.
Like, waiting for it to fucking explode.
He had to like sleep on an inflatable raft because there was so much oil in his house.
So much black gold. But yeah, he couldn't let anybody touch it. So this guy's house explodes in some form. And this is where Tate Brady and then the sheriff get involved. They basically, okay, according to the sheriff, he's like, him and the police are a victim here as well, but he doesn't fucking do anything about it. Then basically they round up 17 men, take them to the police, 17 black men who they are accusing of doing this, take them to the police, then force the police to drive them out of town, tar and feather them, whip them and beat them, and then force them to leave Tulsa while shooting at them.
Oh, Jesus.
And during this, Tate Brady himself writes in the tar, like on these guys' body, the phrase, "For the children of Belgium." I know, it seems really absurd. I had to look up a fucking like random news article clipping to figure out what the fuck that was about. So basically these men were accused of being part of the IWW, which was the Industrial Workers of the World, which is only relevant because obviously it's a socialist union, and prior to Oklahoma becoming a state, Tulsa and Oklahoma were the biggest socialist hub in the country. It was basically a socialist state. So they had ties to the IWW, which has ties to Germany. That's where it's, you know, it forms. And this was a direct accusation of the Germans' rape of Belgium, is what it's called, during World War I, where they voided Belgium's neutrality and killed roughly 20,000 Belgians during their campaign through it. A lot.
Fucking what?
Yeah. And fucking Tate Brady over here apparently is a Belgian patriot.
Right. For the children
of Belgium. What are you talking about?
That's, dude, the article I was reading was a fucking like scanned in fucking library copy of this fucking paper. Like, I don't think I've done like a deeper dive. Like, right. Or found some obscure fucking article, because I kept like trying to search the IWW and I just kept getting their websites.
I think like in the words of Patton Oswalt, what blowjobs is this guy not getting? For fucking Christ. Like, relax, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, like seriously, like what the fuck? Like, and this is during, like, yeah, it's during World War I, I get it, but like, what? Like, out of all the things to be pissed about, like, that's what you're gonna write on these guys, like, in their fucking tarred skin, like,
yeah, that is bizarre.
Also, like, I mean, just from a like logistical standpoint, like, pick something shorter, like it's probably would have taken like multiple people, like, and then so you see one of them on their own, you're like, Bell?
Like, there's like, oh my god, Cody, Jesus Christ,
sorry, like, I'm just like, it's just everything about it is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a numeric 4 instead of the F-O-R?
The number 4. Yeah. Yeah, this guy, like, just saying all that, like, it just was a fucking annoying, because I'm like, none of this makes any fucking sense. Yeah. So the reason that's important, though, is because one of the primary, like, excuses for the 1921 event, it was that they tried to claim that, like, every one of them was part of the IWW. Like, they were all socialists, which made them presume, they're like, oh, well, if they're part of the IWW and they're all socialists, then they're German spies. Like, and so we have to oust them.
The African-American population
are all German spies.
Are all German spies. And prior to Oklahoma becoming a part of the Union, it was one of the largest socialist hubs in America.
Yep.
But now it's part of the Union. All of the black people there are, yep, are spy. Okay. Okay. Just to be clear about how
you're ringing every bell. Crazy. You're right on it. You're dead on.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Mark, I don't know if you've ever heard the term scapegoat before, but I think this definitely comes into play where there's literally nothing the black person could do right at this point.
No, right. Not at all. They were too rich. Too
they
powerful.
Could have a charity saying, you know what, all I want to do is put more money in fucking you racist redneck pockets, and they'd be like, well, that's socialism.
Yeah, I earned my money in this capitalist nation. Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm trying to give you money, you hick piece of shit. And they're like, well, I mean, obviously the money came from drugs or something. Like, yeah. they're so fucking dumb.
They're literally, like, you hit it, like, dead on the head, CJ. Like, there's nothing they could have done right. They will find any excuse. Mm-hmm. And even, like, according to some of the reports that I saw, like, in the 1917 one, those men that were unfortunately tarred and feathered, like, they may have been actual members of the IWW. There's no evidence that anyone in 1921 was, like, right, or obviously a German spy. Like, it was just complete bullshit. Like,
even if they were members of the IWW, it doesn't mean that you should be tarred and feathered and chased out of town with guns being fired at you.
No, now everyone offers you a fucking union. It's just a union. Like, yeah, just everything about it. And before we end it, before I gloss over the fact that, like, so during, like I said, like the police claim that they were held at gunpoint to do this. But then the police chief or the sheriff just turned around and said, like, well, like, yeah, like we were forced to, but, like, there's really nothing that's going to hold up in court. You know, everyone was wearing a hood. I couldn't see anyone's faces. Like,
oh my God.
You know, yeah, they got those pointy hats and, like, yeah, nothing's going to hold up in court. There's really nothing that any of the victims can do as far as, like, a lawsuit.
Right. Can we say how fucking lame it is that they have
That's literally
outfits?
How I read it. Like,
no, how lame is it that these dumb assholes have outfits? Like, yeah, they get dressed up. They put their pretty colors on. They have special garb and robes. It's the fucking gayest thing ever.
Yeah, it's like a Django. He's like, I can't see anything out of this bedsheet.
It's the most cowardly form of doing what they're doing. Right. They're hiding their identities. They're doing it in unison.
Yeah.
They're, like you said, CJ, they're going out. They're putting on their pretty robes and their pointy hats.
You know, they're particular about the eye holes and everything. They take a lot of pride in it. Be. Like, yeah.
There's so much sewing involved.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of seamstress work that went into
I'm picturing a big old, like, a big circle of just angry racist housewives sewing these hoods, just like, those damn colored people.
Yeah, how could you be racist while you're crocheting? You,
my husband
looks
so good in his cloak.
I gotta get the hem right on his uniform, or he'll pitch a hissy.
Earl hates it when his eyes aren't even.
nailed Earl. It.
Oh, that's such the name, Cody. Yeah, you did nail it. Earl. Earl.
All right, well, so that's pretty much all I got.
That was fucking great.
Yeah, that was good, Cody.
Thank you.
I think, so for me at least, I had no idea that Oklahoma, you know, was formed as a state in 1907.
Neither did I was like, whoa.
When I hear statements like that, I just think to myself, good God, this country is so young. Like, right now, we are just in the rebellious teenage period.
Literally, yeah. Right. Mark's over here like, oh, yeah, Leicestershire is 3,000 years old.
Right. I'm like, the church in my village was built in like 1651 or some
the
wild
fact that you
shit.
Said village is also
yeah, that does prove it. Cody's right.
Like, but no, I mean, no, Mark's ultimately right. Like, I love when people try to, like, you know, reminisce about, like, you know, anything with this country. I'm like, bro, we're a speck in fucking time. Like,
yeah,
like, we don't, like, literally, we weren't even a full fucking country when the 1900s hit. Like, shut up. Like,
Right now we are living in the equivalent of like moody teenager group from Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it's our emo phase for sure.
Definitely our emo phase.
We're just listening to Billy Talent on repeat and
if
any day real estate.
Yeah. Oh god.
I'm gonna get really angry in the next section, so that's
let's do it, bud. Let's fucking do it.
Cool. All right, let's take a quick break, and then Mark's gonna come back and yell at us. Okay, bye.
Hey guys, this is Cody and CJ from Justice Time Machine. Just doing another shout out for our buddy Eli, who did our logo for the podcast. If you guys like what you saw with our logo and are looking for any kind of graphic design or logo work, he's really a reliable source to go to. It's ELIS_trashcan on Instagram. Really cool guy, really quick with his work and very talented. And you know, he'll work within your budget. He's very understanding and reasonable. So yeah, reach out to him if you guys need any work done. It's definitely worth it, and have a good one.
Hello, time travelers. If you've made it to episode 8, I want you to know we are real proud of you. We've discussed some awful shit this season. There's a strong possibility that some of the content of our episodes has made you angry at the injustices throughout history, and that's kind of the point. There's a strong possibility that what I'm about to tell you will also do the same. All that I ask is that you channel that anger into positive action and refrain from being a racist asshole. As morning broke on June 1st across Tulsa, thousands of white citizens poured into the streets of the Greenwood District. They began looting and burning homes and businesses over an area of roughly 35 blocks. Two newspapers, a school, a library, a hospital, churches, hotels, stores, and many other Black-owned businesses were among the buildings destroyed or damaged by fire. The National Guard eventually arrived, and martial law was declared by Governor J.B.A. Robertson. By noon, the riot had effectively ended. Fire services that arrived at the various scenes were met by protesters who threatened them with guns. They were either forced to leave or arrested by guardsmen. By June 2nd, an estimated 6,000 people were being held under armed guard at the local fairgrounds, and estimates between 1 and 300 people were deemed to have been killed during this event. A Red Cross estimate also puts the number of houses burned at 1,256, with an additional 215 that were looted but not torched. That made me really angry. I don't know about you guys, but I got really fucking angry when I
are we allowed to come in?
I appreciate the thank you for letting I just need to get that out, like that.
Before we get into it, Cody, before we get into it,
okay,
Mark's voice is so special. It's like I can't help to listen to you.
I don't
know what it is, but there's something that's really endearing about listening to you when you're in that kind of position, when you're doing like a monologue, you know. It reminded me of the classic JTM days where you used to finish the episodes off and you had, you know, a very specific diction. And I fucking love it, buddy.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you said that, because that was a little bit of a throwback for me. I wanted to start my section like I kind of ended a lot of the other episodes.
Well, it was perfect.
It was gorgeous. Yeah,
it was good. Everything like that you said, like it was just like frustrating to listen to, because I was like, what? Why? Right. Can you run us through the numbers again?
Yeah, so because this event, and I don't want to tread on maybe potentially CJ's toes too much, but there was a lot of this history that was covered up for a long time.
Yeah, Mark, you know that doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway.
I love that about you.
No limits.
CJ knows no bounds.
Yeah.
And I love that about you. So the numbers, it's really hard because the Red Cross was basically the only the only support and aid that the area received was through the Red Cross. And so they were kind of hands-on on the scene, but a lot of their reports were buried and you know, misdirected, whatever. But it's safe to say that 1,256 houses were burned, with an additional 215 that were looted but not torched. And they think that almost 6,000 people were being held under armed guard by the following day. And that included members of the fire service that just tried to show up and do their job.
Yeah, which is usually the case. It was the same thing with the LA riots. Like,
yeah. So yeah. I think my kind of next point is that this is the second episode of this season to cover a tragic event specific to U.S. history regarding racial tensions and racism.
Yeah.
And in the LA riots episode, we kind of drew the haunting parallel between what took place in 1965 and then again in 1992, and then, you know, what we're seeing happening now in the present day. And so when I was doing this research, and coming up to the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre, there's obviously a lot kind of coming into the news. I found out that literally 3 days ago, the current Oklahoma governor, Kevin Stitt, or Kevin's Tit, as CJ pointed out, which I love so much, who honestly, this guy must have found the first 40 years of childhood really hard. He was removed from the Tulsa Race Massacre Commission in the last week. And this is a commission that was formed in 2015 to teach citizens about the 1921 massacre by developing and promoting programs and events and activities to memorialize Black Wall Street and the victims. And the reason that Governor Kevin's Tit was ousted from the committee is kind of ironic, because he voted against the teaching of critical race theory.
Oh my God.
Examines individual racial bias that we quite honestly all have, and systemic racism. And the Republican governor claimed that his role prior to this was, and this son of a bitch actually said this in like a press release, he claimed his role was purely ceremonial. And
the governor?
The governor said that his role on this committee was purely ceremonial. Oh. And he defended his decision to sign the bill because now more than ever, we need policies that bring us together, not rip us apart.
And go ahead, sorry.
No. I want your conjecture.
There's a few points there that I just want to touch on. I think that I think this season in general is definitely almost unconsciously reporting the malfeasance of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
and how, you know, I think the U.S. in particular, I think there's more episodes than that aren't going into that kind of topic. It's interesting that U.S. history, like you said earlier, is like so new, and we're going mm-hmm. through all these kind of like situations, and it's shocking that we haven't heard of most of them. Like this topic in particular, I haven't heard of. But in this one, speaking of it, I think a lot of it is about pointing fingers, like who incited the riot, who incited the massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, the powers that be are going to be the ones that have the longest index fingers and say like, oh, it was the Black race, it was the people of color, that started this one. But we all know in our heart of hearts, and without any research needed, that I'm sure it was quite the contrary.
Yeah. Okay, so I recently have seen a few things about this whole, like, this critical race teaching. Or what's it called exactly?
Critical race theory, or CRT for short.
And every single fucking sack of feces who was against it, it has the dumbest fucking reasons.
Right.
Their only reason is that they're just afraid of letting kids know that white people suck. We've sucked for a long time, and we've done a lot of bad shit, and we're trying to fucking make up for it now. And that's all they're fucking scared of. They're scared of their kids, their white kids, feeling in any sense inferior. Mm-hmm. In any sense what every other fucking colored kid has felt for centuries.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're afraid of. And they back it but with this stupid fucking claim that it's going to destroy our country. And it's like, no, you fucking have this weird fucking belief that our country is fucking red all over. And like, that's your country. And it's like, no, your country's full of people, and the people deserve to fucking be educated.
Country's full of immigrants.
Yeah. Full of people who never belonged here. Right. Like, and it's like, dude, it's that kind of mentality that keeps us being one of the most poorly educated countries on the planet. Like,
it's a false sense of ownership.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you said, considering that was, you know, off the cuff and you were speaking from your heart, I really appreciate that. And you spoke very eloquently. And Cody, I fear that I hear the fire.
Sorry, was I too angry?
No. And I love that too, because I can't talk about this without getting angry. And that's probably, you know, I need to kind of find a way to do that and to communicate in the right way, because, you know, I wrote down here, my description of Kevin's tit is a flaming bag of turd in a terribly cut suit with a level of self-confidence that only white supremacy can give you. That was my
100%.
100%. Okay, so Mark, I have a chest tattoo that's a banner, and the banner is empty. I think I'm gonna put that in the banner.
There you go, right above those rats.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The people that are defending it, in my opinion, and we are allowed to have an opinion, and we are on a podcast because we have opinions, like, you know, it's, they are all of, they're cut from the same ilk, you know, they are from the same ilk, they're from the same cloth. I just think
the same red and white cloth.
And to tie it back to what we're talking about, because I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but what Kevin Stitt doesn't want people to be educated about is that despite their duties to preserve order and to protect property, no government at any level offered adequate resistance, if any at all, in what amounted to be the destruction of an affluent and prosperous Black neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think, Cody, you brought this up on a podcast a long time ago where, the same podcast, but like another episode. That the history is written by the victors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we have like any sense of what our history books look like now and how they're, you know, reporting these kind of stories, obviously the white person won.
Yep. Right. They've written it all. Like, and
so
that's why 100%, like, why would they want their kids to be taught something written by someone else?
Exactly. Or just to admit what we did wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, admit that we we made it up. Like,
how did we acquire this power?
What's so wrong about saying sorry? I fucking love saying sorry. It's like my favorite thing to do.
That's because you're wrong a lot.
Sure. No, absolutely. But I mean, sorry feels good for the the victim and the inflictor.
It's very cathartic. Right. Yeah.
And look, I mean,
say sorry.
I agree with you, dude, that I have to give a shout out to TulsaHistory.org. I gleaned a great deal of information from that website, and I want to, you know, give them
their dues.
It's they really kind of break it down in a way that, at least, you know, for me, it was very tangible. It was very easy to wrap my head around, and they did it almost in a very objective way as well, which I was impressed by, because they could easily, you know, make it obviously sound very subjective. But there was one quote that really stuck with me, and it said, "Despite being numerically at a disadvantage, Black Tulsans fought valiantly to protect their homes, their businesses, and their community. But in the end, the city's African-American population was simply outnumbered by the white invaders." And that is exactly what this was. It was a fucking invasion. They absolutely decimated a community. And guess who was left to help the Black Tulsans rebuild it?
Black Tulsans?
Fucking nail on the head. Like, first time. Yeah. And it's kind of going back to CJ's point, like, you almost don't need to do the research to know that that is the case. Like, it's just the way that shit, unfortunately, has worked out. And
and that's why, like, what I said in the beginning, it's like, yeah, I could have fucking gone up and did research on the fucking, like, three, you know, week prior, but it's like, I didn't need to, because the fucking history of the state itself was just fucking racist. Like,
yeah,
it's like, it's all you needed to know. Like,
and look, I'm going back, this is my opinion, but I think if people, you know, if people like Kevin Stitt don't think that critical race theory is important, and by that I mean the teaching that systemic racism has been a part of American society since its inception, that, you know, and people that agree with that, they are in a very overpopulated void that in the last maybe couple of years, you know, has become the wrong side of history. And I don't even like saying that anymore, because it's just, it almost feels like a very overused phrase. And it's also putting it politely.
The people with those opinions, only go to the same bar in their neighborhood where everybody in that bar has the same fucking opinion.
Yeah.
The bar where everybody has to lift up their fucking mask to take a sip of beer and then put it back down again?
Yeah,
where everybody's either named Earl or Scooter. Yeah, where in order to show ID, you have to lift up your fucking white bed sheet. Yeah. It's because that goes into play with segregation and gerrymandering and all that stuff. It's like, you're keeping these awful people with these other awful people to share their awful ideas in this one safe space, but also at the same time denying a safe space for the other side of it to have their opinions.
Yeah,
absolutely. And sorry, Cody, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. I was just gonna say, like, I know you were saying that you were you don't like saying, like, oh, that they're on the wrong side of history, even though they are, right, being who they fucking are. But it's like, even more than like not liking that phrase, like, the fucking thing I hate hearing right now that comes from all those fucking, that spews out of those people's mouth, is every time I hear one of them vote against something and say that it's gonna ruin our country,
right,
is the fucking second I say shut the second I hear that, shut the fuck up, it's not gonna ruin our country, it's gonna ruin your view of it. Like,
well, it's gonna ruin what you perceive to be this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and exactly like
what you perceive is fucking bullshit. So, like, no one on like, I'm gonna say on our side, like the fucking, you know, logical people, no one ever fucking uses that phrase. No one ever says, like, at least not that I hear. Maybe I'm just blinder because I am on this side, but like, I don't hear everyone say like, like, it's gonna ruin our country. It's like, no, you've already ruined it. So, like, I don't have to fucking say it. Like,
yeah, it was born ruined.
Yeah, it's like you fucked it up from the start.
Yeah. This country is an abortion that came back to life.
That's what you should put in the banner. I know what I said was good, but like that.
Never been so close to spitting out my beer.
I know. I thought you did for a second.
I thought it was all down you. Did. It, a little bit of it came out and went up my nose.
but that's the thing. And like, I hate so much that that it is almost about sides these days. Like, I truly do, because
it sucks.
There should be some fucking middle ground. But to the point of what we were just talking about, we need to be better at acknowledging our shame, which kind of goes back to what CJ was saying about making apologies. And we also need to do a better job, a hell of a better job, of putting actions in place that prevents history repeating itself. Mm-hmm. And do you know the best way to do that? And what? This is the biggest fuck you to Kevin's tit, is fucking teaching people, educating people. Because if you are educated and you receive all of the information and you decide to form a different opinion to me, go on your way, my friend. Like, I do not hold anything against you. But do not, to your point, Cody, like, hold a particular set of cards and think that they are all of the cards and that's all that you can play.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
Mark's absolutely right. Cause, like, you know, like Midwestern, like, history textbooks, I'm sure we should still show Pilgrims and Native Americans shaking hands. Like,
Oh yeah.
You know, if you're going to teach something, like, we need to know the truth before we form an opinion. And if the truth is skewed, like, our opinions are skewed.
Truth fucking sucks and it hurts.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, the truth hurts real bad, but it doesn't mean that we don't deserve to know it.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, not to, you know, divert too much, because I want to make sure, you know, Mark gets to, you know, go over all of his research, but, like, I'll throw myself out there. Like, I am very guilty of, when I was younger, you know, not really thinking much of, like, obviously, you know, what us as, like, you know, our, like, the white race has done oppressing other races, and always, like, you know, being under my, you know, my family's umbrella of, like, being, like, you know, sheltered under the umbrella of privilege, and not really, you know, realizing everything that's happened, you know, really thinking that, well, it wasn't me who did it. Like, why should I have to fucking do anything about it? Like, that was fucking forever ago. Like, I was super guilty of having those thoughts when I was younger. And then I fucking learned, and people taught me things, and I fucking, like, was educated, not by our system, but by, you know, the people I surrounded myself with. And, like, you know, it's okay to fucking admit that, like, we fucked up. Like, you know, back to the CD, just saying, like, just apologize. Apologize.
No, it's true. And honestly, like, that was pretty much, you know, what happened was, across a very, very short period of time, it was, you know, the best part of sort of 6 hours almost. There was so much destruction was caused. And going back to your section, Cody, you know, there were a lot of embers that ignited this fire. And I know that that's, you know, an obvious analogy to use, considering we're talking about, you know, mass arson. But there, you know, there was Jim Crow, there was jealousy, there's white supremacy, there's land lust. And you throw all of that in.
I like that phrase. Land lust.
But you throw all of that into a blender. And unfortunately, this. It almost was sadly inevitable, but it could have easily been prevented. So, like, you know, like so much, of history.
Yeah. Like, you know, when the US Constitution stepped in and was like, you guys don't have to do Jim Crow laws. And, like, nah, we're gonna.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. They even, actually, I didn't mention it, but, like, the Oklahoma, like, state, like, what do you call, legislature or whatever, they literally were like, dude, if we pass this, like, Teddy Roosevelt's gonna step in and gonna do something about it. They literally, like, he never did, but they're like, this is kind of a bad idea. And they're like, yeah, do it. Like,
we want a leather in from Teddy.
Yeah, right? Who doesn't?
Oh, yeah, baby, smack me.
We've been bad.
Get me, daddy.
Oh, no.
Oh, Teddy.
I need to be punished.
Like, knocking things off of a shelf. And they're like, whoops.
Oops. Don't forget, like, to wear that hat.
I guess you're real mad, Teddy, aren't you?
Yeah, like, it's just like you said, like, yeah, it could have been fucking avoided. They knew it could have been fucking avoided. Like, they just did it anyway.
Yeah, and that, honestly, that was kind of everything I had. So
Well, wait, but didn't you say, like, what immediately caught, like, what kicked this off? Like, didn't you say something about, like, an elevator?
So, yeah, so going back, there was an incident on May 30th. There was an incident between a young black man called Dick Rowland, and he was riding in an elevator, right? In the
I wonder if he's really building. Kelly Rowland, maybe?
Oh,
from Destiny's Child.
From Destiny's Child. They're
from Oklahoma.
I don't know. Maybe
she could be. But yeah, so he was riding in an elevator with a white woman named Sarah Page, and basically everything that happened, you know, was like each individual's account was all that anybody had to go off of. Mm. So. Accounts of the incident started to circulate in the amongst the white community during that day, and a game of telephone happened. Like, every time that the story was told, it was kind of exaggerated.
Mm. So it says here that she refused to prosecute him.
Yeah, because basically Tulsa police arrested him the following day and began investigating him, and an inflammatory report was filed, which then spurred a confrontation between black and white armed mobs at the courthouse, because the black community had every reason to believe that this Dick Rowland was going to be lynched, that that he would be killed.
That was par for the course, like in Tulsa, like, and it was prior to this.
Exactly, and it was a young black man's word against a white woman. So that was one of the sparks.
Wait, sorry, before you go on, like, if she refused to prosecute him, like, thank you, CJ. I thought CJ was going to chime in with, like, a joke, but then he actually was, like, reading.
Definitely not right now.
Well, no, because it's par for the course for CJ to be like, it says here, blah, 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 blah. It's, like, usually something silly. But, but thank you, because, like, if she refused to prosecute, why was anything ever fucking said? You're gonna turn around and say, like, he touched my titty, and be like, nah, it's fine. Like, I don't really want to make much of it. It's like, bitch, you already did. Like,
right. Well, I mean, there was a reason.
Sorry to use that term. That just kind of came out. But, like, lady?
I don't know if
do you guys want to hear the actual story real quick? Like, so I could tell the elevator story, like, real quick.
Okay, go.
So Rowland tripped in the elevator. He grabbed the elevator operator's arm, which was Sarah. Sarah screamed, and the clerk on the first floor heard the scream and called the police to report it. Uh-huh. Seeing him, Rowland, flee the elevator.
Because he knew he was a deep shit.
And then the police reported it as an attempted assault.
God damn it. That's bullshit.
And that was enough. Like, that event basically then led to the massing of white and black armed mobs. So going back to your section, Cody, there was clearly a lot of ground that had been laid leading up to this, but it was enough to flip the switch,
to really set it off.
And that was, like, the white community in Tulsa, in that area. That was enough of a reason for them.
Well,
to
definitely
go and do
my did. Apology back to even, like, referring to her as a bitch, because it actually apparently had nothing to do with her.
I mean, it's fucking bystander. 1921 Tulsa, Oklahoma. He could have spit his gum on the street and somebody would have claimed assault.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
True. Fair.
So,
yeah. So some bullshit situations like that happened. And then, a thousand people died. Like, not to, like, to dumb it down, but, like, that's all they needed to go fucking kill people.
My section has a lot to do with the numbers, so we'll go into it.
Great,
a little bit.
Cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. Also, right. Weird that, like, against norms, but, like, the elevator operator was a white woman, but, mm-hmm. like,
it was
they love to refer to all elevator operators as minorities in, like, any, like, visual depiction.
I'm pretty certain that she...
Wait, what are you saying, Cody?
I just think it's funny. It's like, and every time you see an elevator operator in any kind of, like, old-time movie, it's always, like, a black man.
Oh, like, I see. But it's I see what you're saying.
It's like they have, white, like, you know, a white person had the job too, but you never, that's the first time I've ever fucking heard of that job with a white person involved.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's crazy that he was accused of something that nobody saw. True, and even he disagreed
like,
with it.
That dude, he's like, no. Even she was like, yeah, I think he just fell. Like,
yeah, if you're gonna trip and fall, like, sure, and grab a booby, yeah, that's probably, that could be disputed. But he grabbed her arm.
Yeah, right. And she screamed because it's probably kind of scary. Like, someone's falling on you. Like, yeah, it's fine. Well, let's take a quick break. And then CJ can hit us with some numbers. Okay, bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Justice Time Machine. We appreciate it very much so. I want to take this opportunity to also appreciate another person. I hope that line of logic followed. His name is Johnny Niddle, and he is the person responsible for doing all of our music. He did our theme song, he does all the transitions, and we couldn't be happier with his work. We think it's like absolutely wonderful. It's one of the greatest things that's happened to our podcast since it started. It's actually sounding much more professional and just all around better. So you should absolutely give me your business. Go to johnnyrk.com. That's Johnny RK, JohnnyRK.com. Or you can find him on all social media at Johnny RK. Go to Johnny Niddle, give him your money. He deserves every penny. Thank you, Johnny, and we'll see you next time.
Oh, I did do the thing.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, I did do the thing. Okay.
I clicked it. Nothing happened, but then I heard the sweet voice. So.
Welcome to Justice Time Machine, Season 5, Episode 8.
There we go. You wait till the end to do it.
I think you guys gave me a lot of shit in the past for going over a lot of things we've already talked about.
You've been giving yourself shit the entire time.
but I think it needs to be said because it's a long episode. Like, maybe a reminder is kind of necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And also, in advance, this podcast has been driving me fucking crazy internally, so I just took 2 shots of vodka.
Okay, cool. Cool.
So if things are sloppy, I apologize in advance.
All right.
So the Tulsa Race Massacre, May 31st to June 1st, 1921. As Cody mentioned earlier, we're coming up on the 100-year anniversary.
Yep.
That will be in just 13 days from now after the release of this episode, which is, I'm assuming, exactly after we record it.
Yes, that's coming out tonight.
Off the press.
Because our timing's been complete dog shit lately.
Yeah. So that's okay. It happens.
There's going to be I'm going to go over the numbers here, and it might get like a little, you know, confusing, but just if you have any questions, go for it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the total deaths include 36 people, 26 of them black and 10 of them white, but there are more than 3 different reported figures of this actual count.
Okay. Sorry. Right, I overshot a little bit by saying 1,000. So.
It's okay. No, I'll get with you. Don't worry about it. We'll get there.
Gotcha.
So the first one was the one I just mentioned. And the second one was proposed by W.F. White. So he was a civil rights activist who led the NAACP from 1929 to 1955. He investigated across America lynchings and racial conflict from the time he was like, you know, with the NAACP. See, I told you those vodka shots.
It's a weird acronym.
And that was his job, to like get inside racial discrimination cases.
Yeah.
And at one point, he actually infiltrated the Ku Klux Klan to expose members and find arrests within the Klan members.
Nice.
So you could say, in short, this guy fucking rules.
Yeah. I thought he was gonna suck based off his name, but.
No. Yeah, because the white.
Yeah.
So his estimate of the Tulsa race massacre was 200 dead black people and 50 dead white people.
Oh, geez.
A report that came out in 2001 officially states that it was 39 confirmed dead, but it could be up to 300. And that's an official report, 39 to 300.
Again, with the ranges.
I'll keep going. I'll keep going. It'll make sense in a little bit, Cody. So 800 plus people were injured. 183 of those people had serious injuries. And now I'll go into why the news agencies kind of like printed these kind of incorrect figures. Mm-hmm. And so it was all like paper. It was all in newspapers and they all got them all wrong. So in the 3 days following, the Tulsa Tribune changed their figures three different times. So this one Tulsa newspaper changed their death figures, one on the same day, twice on the same day, and then a third time on the day following.
Jesus.
And there was also major publications that had drastically different numbers reported across the nation. So the LA Express, which is basically the LA Times at this point, it said there was 175 people killed. The New York Times said there were 77 people killed. And the Richmond Times said there was 85 people killed. However, all papers did report about 50 to 70% of the majority of people killed being Black people.
Hmm. So they could agree on that, but not how many.
Yes, not how many, but they could agree on like the percentage.
Okay, so at least they were, I guess, successful in making it known that it was a race related thing. Like,
so here's where W.F. White comes into play. So W.F. White goes to Tulsa right after hearing about the riots and the massacre, and discovered that people were witnessed putting the departed in mass graves.
Oh.
And there's a lot of talk across the city and people saying, like, they're dumping a lot of killed Black people in mass graves across the city.
The fuck? Why?
Because they don't want to report that they were actually murdered during this massacre process.
Why did I ask why? Like...
No, it's okay. Cody, you're doing great. Don't worry about it.
It's just like I asked why, and I'm like, duh, yeah. Racism.
It's a heinous thing to do. So
yeah.
So the Red Cross arrived after W.F. White. And the Red Cross had an actual estimate of the population of the Greenwood district of Tulsa. And the actual population was reported at 8,624. Those were the registered residents of that neighborhood in Tulsa. They reported that 55 to 300 were killed, and the uncertainties come from A, the fires, and B, the mass graves. So they don't know how many people were actually dead because there was a lot of like body dumping and a lot of fires.
Did you say fires and mass rapes?
Graves.
Graves. Oh, okay, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. No, it's okay. No, you're okay. Cody, you're not far off. Trust me. I wouldn't put it past this hillbilly scum.
Yeah.
Is that because the fire would have like cremated some of the bodies? Is that why they're saying
they don't get
It was harder to discover bodies when there's rubble involved rather than just on the street.
Yeah.
So the Red Cross reported that most burials were very hurried right afterwards, like literally like June 1st, like there was a ton of fucking burials across the city in three different cemeteries across the city. And people were just like burying people. They were just like putting the bodies in, getting them underground, like no research process, like no investigative process.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, listen, you guys are running really fast to bury these bodies. There's obviously probably some misconnections here.
Yeah, just to throw it out there, like to Mark's comment, because I wanted to look it up real quick. If they were using like the fires as like a cover up, an intense house fire, like the average house fire, usually gets up to about 1100 degrees. It takes up to like 1800 degrees to cremate a body.
Okay,
so it's like. Unless it was a regular, like, unless they let those fucking fires burn for days, like, no, they weren't hiding any bodies in the fucking ash.
Got it.
Christ. Cody, you don't know my address, right?
Oh, I do.
Why do you know that?
Right. I just Googled it.
Okay, good.
I'm going to save it for later.
All right, so the official Red Cross report is that 55 to 300 were dead. were killed in this race massacre. 183 were injured. 531 needed first aid. There were 8 miscarriages. Whoa. And an additional 19 dead while in the hospital between June 1st and June 30th.
I wasn't expecting the miscarriages. That came out of nowhere.
So the Greenwood district of Tulsa was basically leveled at this point. So 191 businesses were absolutely gone. A junior high was gone. There was a ton of churches that were gone, which is weird that they didn't have the number of churches. It was just literally on the Wikipedia page, a lot of churches were gone.
So, okay, in fairness to that, like when I was reading like what in Greenwood, like what were Black owned properties and stuff, that's kind of how they listed. It was like X amount of businesses, 2 theaters, X amount of restaurants, a lot of churches. Like,
right. Like they a lot of churches.
They phrase it the same way. It's just like a lot of churches.
Too many to count.
Too many.
Listen, I know it's my job to report this, but why?
So many choirs. Like,
so 1,256 homes were absolutely gone. If this happened today, the total losses of property, just of owned property, not businesses, just of homes, like the retail market,
yeah,
would be $32 million.
Damn.
Wow.
Of damage. 10,000 people also became homeless because of this shit as well. So the news interviewed the deputy sheriff, Barney Cleaver, or as I like to call him, let me see if I'm saying this right, an insufferable cunt.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's basically like the reverse W.F. White. He's like the opposite of W.F. White. So he blamed everything on the Black community and said things in the paper that I looked it up and I refuse to repeat them. I will not.
Okay.
Like the things that he said in the paper the next day on June 2nd, or the day after June 1st, June 2nd, I just can't. It's horrible what he said. Like, he used the N-word a lot. He used very harsh language. And it was just, why would you put that in the paper?
Yeah, well, why would you even think that it's okay to say? Like,
And honestly, at the end of the day, Cleaver was really butthurt because he lost a lot of property during the fires.
Oh, so... Sorry.
I know, right? Yeah, boo fucking who, you
maybe your
bitch.
Fucking white supremacist pal shouldn't have burned everything.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
so I thought about this, and I thought a little more deeply about why the paper would report this kind of thing, and like maybe it was like a local issue. So I looked into a lot of the the diction in the papers at this time, and a lot of papers reported that it was a majority of Black people that died. But a lot of papers were using that as almost a brag.
What do you mean?
Where they were excited, like local news agencies reported the event, and some were almost proud to report the disparity in color of lives lost.
Right. Oh, not white.
Exactly. So even though it was reported accurately, some were proud to report it, and some were just reporting the facts.
Someone spun it as like, it's okay, guys. Like, only this amount of white people died.
Exactly.
Ew.
It very gross.
That's
very
gross. Who reported that? Stuff. Like the KKK Express? Like,
yeah. Like,
no, it was actually the local Tulsa papers recorded it as kind of a victory.
Oh, and they're obviously owned by the KKK.
And the national papers, like the LA and the New York Times and the LA Express, were reporting it as facts, where the local news reported it as almost like a victory.
That's gross.
So, yeah, that's why I took 2 shots of vodka before this.
Okay.
That's exactly why. So in 1921, there was a grand jury evaluation of this case. Okay. And a lot of victims came forward and helped the case. And they proved that basically the law enforcement that was in charge in Tulsa was basically completely inept of doing their job. They had no idea what they're doing. They had no idea to handle it.
Obviously.
There's this one quote by Chief Chuck Jordan. He describes the Tulsa police as the police department did not do their job then. You know, they just fucking didn't.
Love what he said. Love his fucking name, Chief Chuck Jordan.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
I added the fucking. That was my bad. I was, yeah, I know, but still.
That's okay. Still like the guy.
Chief Chuck.
You rock.
So this caused a lot of the survivors to come forward and say, like, he's absolutely right. Like, they were completely, you know, targeting us during the race massacre. We were basically like, you know, wolves among sheep among wolves.
Yeah.
And they threatened a lot of them afterwards, saying, like, if you don't shut up about this, we'll kill you.
Well, it's like the same, the fucking the police chief back in 1917. He's like, well, I mean, there really wasn't much we can do anyway. And like, what are they gonna do? Sue us? Probably not.
Yeah, like, yeah. I know the fucking judge. He's my inbred brother. He'll be fine.
He's
so
my sister's husband and my cousin.
So this was 1921.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a long time ago, and then 75 years later. As the 75th anniversary of the riots were close, there was a Tulsa Race Massacre Commission where they voted on giving substantial restitution to the residents. So that's great, but a lot of the people that were afflicted by it are already dead and gone.
So they give it to their family?
And yeah, to the families.
Okay.
So the commission's final report reported these payments. Okay, so it was a direct payment of reparations to the survivors of the riots, a direct payment of reparations to descendants of the survivors of the riot, a scholarship fund available to students affected by the riot, establishment of an economic development enterprise zone in the historic area of the Greenwood District, so like kind of a museum in the area, and then also a memorial and for the reburial of the victims in the race massacre.
Half of that is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm sorry, so the direct payments to the survivors of the riot who are dead, does that direct payment go to their family?
It does. It says it in the commission's contract.
And they also get a payment for being like a descendant. Like, so they get all of it. So it was the direct payment to the Senate, and then the scholarship fund.
The scholarship fund, yeah. And then there was like a museum, and then
survivors of the riot.
Yeah, for the families of the survivors.
Okay, so descendants. I was like, they're not going to school. They're 75. Like, they're fucking like 112. Like, what the fuck? Like, here's a scholarship for you. Like, I have like 17 grand. Like,
dude, I'm dying tomorrow. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I'm like, that's not a fucking restitution. They do it on purpose. Like, they wait till everyone's dead, and they're like, look what we gave you. Like,
so there's a lot of examples of this case in popular culture.
Oh.
There was the Watchmen series. Cody, you know about that.
Well, I've seen the Watchmen movie. Mark mentioned this reference.
Yeah. And also, there's a Bob Dylan song about this called Murder Most Foul.
Oh.
And it says, one of the quotes in the song is, take me back to Tulsa to the scene of the crime.
Hmm. All right. Go Bob Dylan. Right, you said Bob Dylan? Did I make that up?
Yeah, I said Bob Dylan. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I mean, okay, so I'll keep it there. I know it was a lot of numbers and facts and silly stuff, but
No, that was great. That was, like, I think Mark did a really good job of, like, on the second thing, like, not focusing on the numbers and, like, giving us, like, the gravity of, like, what this was. And, like, so it was nice, actually, to get the statistics at the end and, like, what this actually, like, the toll that this took, in a sense, from a number sense. So I think it was perfect.
Well, you think, like, I mean, the part that hit me the most was how many, there was 10,000 homeless people after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like,
because that's 10,000 families that don't have a fighting chance, especially in this time of, our American history, where being homeless in 1921 and as a person of color must have been the single hardest thing to ever fucking go through, because everybody in their community hates you and you're almost homeless. Yeah. And you are homeless. Right. Like, that hurt the most, I think. Like, sure, you know, if you get killed, it's a tragedy and that's fucking terrible. But to live with it is almost more punishment at the same time.
Yeah.
And to bring it full circle to kind of what I think we were saying at the beginning of the episode, you know, this was also this was an affluent area, a prosperous African-American community that, despite all of the odds being stacked against them, you know, had not only survived, but like had done far more than that. Mm. And you know, they called it Black Wall Street for a reason, like that. These, so to go from that to then being homeless, to having so much, yeah, and having that completely taken away from you. Like, I think about, you know, me and like what's precious to me, my possessions, my home, you know, all the thing, all of the safe, the safe space that I'm in and the things that make me feel safe. And then to have that completely eradicated.
Yeah.
In less than a day.
Yeah.
It's heart-wrenching. And
also, like, to, you know, sorry, but like, because of nothing you did.
Like, because of nothing you did.
Yeah.
Because of absolutely nothing. And I know we were talking, you know, off air, I don't know if that's the right phrase, but
yeah,
you know, around kind of, are we the right people to dissect this and to kind of go into this? But I think, you know, this is a topic that we were all on some level pretty unfamiliar with. And I think, you know, Cody, you said it best in terms of kind of, if we're not talking about it, we're not part of the conversation and we're not encouraging other people to talk about it. And, you know, ultimately we know who we are and we admit that, and we know that we might not be the experts yeah, on the subject matter, but this is something that is rarely, this is a topic and a period of history that has rarely had a light kind of shined on it. And it was just coincidental that we decided to do this at the 100th anniversary, yeah, right around the corner. But I think, you know, none of the crimes that were committed were ever brought to justice.
No, no one, and I don't think anyone was ever accused of anything.
No, not, they weren't. I can tell you, like, not one single crime, a aforementioned crime that we've discussed today, was ever brought to justice. And the whole point of this podcast is about trying to find a sense of justice. And I appreciate people might listen to this and think, well, you are three white dudes that don't have any skin in the game, and I know, you know, that don't like know the trials and tribulations to be a person of color. And we've done two episodes, like I said, in my section on this now, but I would rather be a part of the conversation and a part of like putting that out there than to sit in silence. And yeah, and I just, so I, yeah,
I'm going,
say, oh sorry, go CJ, go.
I'm going online right now and I'm seeing like over 100 different riots, like just like this, from 1878 to 1978. Like in 100 years, 100 riots. So it causes me to believe that there are two different American histories. There's the truth, and then there's the ones that people like me, you, and Mark know.
Right.
Yeah.
There's two different truths in this world. There's an actual truth of what happened, and there's the things that they just don't teach us at all. And it's, yeah, right, that's so fucking unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, to anyone that would say, like, what you said, Mark, like, you know, we are three white guys, like, you know, the ultimate privilege, and I mean, they're not wrong. Like, I was saying, like, no, right, you're not wrong. Like, we have literally no insight. Like, the best we can do is try to teach ourselves. Like,
exactly.
And it's what we're trying to do. Like, you know, we made a little platform for it, but like, you know, we're learning just as much as we do it. And, you know, at least I think we're on the right side. Like, we're not trying to, like, you know, make ourselves sound holier than thou on in any sense. Like,
well, let me say the word, like, yeah, I don't need any education on not being racist. I'm pretty good at not being racist.
Well, right, yeah, now. No, that's, yeah, that,
and
yeah,
and I the people that need to be taught are the racist people, and they refuse to look up this kind of shit.
Yeah,
right. Like, I don't need somebody to tell me don't be a racist piece of shit, because it's the easiest fucking thing to do is not be, yeah, racist for me. But for the people that are born into it, like, nobody's born racist. People are taught racism.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but true. The people that need to hear this kind of shit are the people that have are born into households and generations of where saying the N-word's okay, or yeah, or being you know completely aloof to the creation of the United States is okay. Like, mm-hmm, we don't need to hear this. We know.
No, we don't. And the people listening to us probably don't, but it's like, it's just, I think it takes every voice saying it, like, yes, every voice in going in the same direction. You know, it's like, I think, in the same sense that, you know, Mark, yeah, I know you were, I don't know if you were even part of it yet, but when we did the Circassian genocide episode a long time ago, and we had a very, very lovely Circassian lady reach out to us saying how like cool it was for two random guys over here talking about this, bringing a little bit of recognition to something that her people suffered through. Like, that's what it's for. It's
100%
someone feeling like that someone out there is on their side.
Like, yeah, someone's listening. And so, yeah, like you said, Cody, it goes and goes back to what I was saying. You know, it goes back to education, about teaching, about challenging views, challenging beliefs that exist in our society. And there's always, society is always going to be a mixed bag.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
That's what society is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I know I would rather be on the right track with you two guys than anybody else out there.
Yeah.
And I strongly believe we are. So.
Yeah. So I think that's
amazing. Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, should we
end it there?
Mark, like, where do you want us to go from here? That was perfect.
It's honestly the best part of my week is being able to go through these things and put myself in an uncomfortable space, but talk about certain issues, parts of history, whatever, with two people that enjoy it as much as I do.
I'd like to say that our podcast is going to relax a little bit after this, but it's going to get a lot worse in the next two episodes. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah, it's not getting.
Are we going to announce what the next? No, it's going to be a big surprise. Okay,
nope,
great.
Nope.
I love a surprise.
Yep. Okay.
I'm leaving. I'm joking. After I sat here, how much I love this.
Bye.
And an interesting spot to leave right now. It's the end of the podcast, Mark.
Okay, bye.
Okay, I finished my meal and I hated it. I'm gonna sending it back.
Yeah. I want a refund.
Yeah, Mark, you ate it all, pal. You gotta stick with it.
All right.
Well, we'll see you guys next time.
Sure.
Yeah. Find us wherever you want to find us. I don't know the things.
JusticeTimeMachine@gmail.com.
They don't need to know.
Oh, you don't want to say it anymore?
No, I'm just gonna go for it.
No, that's fine.
What's the other one, Mark?
We are on Instagram at JusticeTimeMachine.
Yeah.
Hopefully this one, we're not on Twitter, but hopefully this one doesn't land us on Twitter.
Yeah, hopefully. No, that would suck. Yeah, I don't want to be on Twitter without our approval.
Like,
all right, I'm Cody.
I'm CJ.
Okay. Fuck you.
I did it again.
Fuck you.
And I am Mark.
Okay, bye.